You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is radio the way it should be heard.
It starts in the ocean, and when I start my day, okay. Look slick, shout, after I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water, always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter, take her swimming, you gotta make these opposites back up like lobsters, indigenous warriors.
Good afternoon, my faith and family friends. Thank you so much for joining. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, please listen to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verse 1. Everything has its time. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. This is Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verse 1. Well, you've probably guessed by now that our topic is about time, because we've talked about everything has a season. And here to discuss and unpack the value of time is Reverend Colin Jones, pastor of Advent United Church of Christ and chaplain at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. Good afternoon, Reverend Jones.
Good afternoon. How are you doing on today?
Doing very well. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so very much for asking, and greetings to all of your guests who are watching and listening.
Great. Oh, great. Reverend Jones, please tell us a little about yourself and your ministries.
Well, I appreciate that. Yes. So born and raised right here in Columbus, Ohio, went to Northland High School. And after that, I went to Ohio State for a couple of years and then transferred to live my dream, which was to be a student at Morehouse College. And after majored in religion at Morehouse College, and after that, I went to Princeton Theological Seminary and got my Master's of Divinity there. Served as a youth pastor in Bridgeport, Connecticut for a couple of years, and moved back to New Jersey and was the coordinator for the Roselle Family Success Center, which we took the lead to try to prevent child abuse and neglect. Transitioned back home to Columbus, Ohio, and my wife and I, we pastored the Shaker Heights Community Church for about 60 years in Cleveland, Ohio. And then we transitioned back home officially to Columbus, Ohio, where my wife and I, we pastored Advent United Church of Christ together. We've been there for about 4 years. And I recently successfully defended my dissertation at United Theological Seminary, and I this May I will be graduating with my doctorate degree.
So, well, congratulations.
It's been a great journey. Thank you so very much. I appreciate
yes,
it.
Yes, that's wonderful. And what else can you tell us about yourself?
I've been married for 20 years. This July will be 21 years. I have three amazing children. My oldest, he's 26, is living in Cincinnati. My daughter, she is 19 in her second year at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. And then my son, my youngest son, he's about to be 15 in a couple weeks. He's a freshman here at Pickerington Central. So I have a phenomenal family. Have a
yes,
phenomenal
you
church.
Do.
And, you know, at this season in my life, you know, I was just sharing with a couple friends of mine how, you know, I'm all about purpose.
Yes.
And living life with fulfillment and meaning. And so that which I strive to do, I strive, that is the foundation upon which that I stand. Is it going to provide meaning for me? Is it going to provide joy for me? Is it going to provide purpose for me? And if not, then to a degree, I limit how often I'm partaking in those things that don't fit within that framework. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes all the sense in the world. And again, I do want to congratulate you on defending your dissertation. And I, too, am a graduate, was graduated from United. So glad to be in your company.
And I as well.
Being an alum, got my Doctor of Ministry from there. I also, now, did you mention being a chaplain at Ohio State University? Are you doing some of that?
So, you know, actually, so I used to serve as a hospice chaplain for quite a number of years. And currently, I do work at Ohio State James, at the James Hospital. But more specifically, my role is a patient advocate in the patient experience department. So my role is to advocate for the patients and advocate for the families as well. So we try to take the initiative to address any concerns, because no one wants to be in the hospital. And so we recognize that because that is the context in which that I'm interacting with them, we try to go above and beyond to make sure that their experience is that they're having the best experience as possible.
I can relate, and I tell you why I can relate. My very first ministry pastorate was at a local hospital here as a chaplain and patient advocate. It was the patient advocacy was a new department then at Grant Medical Center. And so I was hired into pastoral care, and I did both the chaplaincy and combined that with being an assistant to the patient advocate. So I did patient advocacy as well as chaplains. And it was a very enriching experience, and it was very satisfying. And I was so honored and pleased to be in that combination of a call. It was a wonderful experience, and it was so important for the patient. So I applaud you for doing that. Well, you know, and so this patient advocacy, is this at the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center?
Yes, ma'am. So the patient experience department is across the hospital, whether that's at the James Hospital or University Hospital. My particular function is at the James.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make that clear to our listeners, because they might need to look you up sometime when they're there.
There we go.
Yeah, if there's any concerns,
of myself and other advocates as well,
Yes. That is really, that field was new then, and it has really developed, and it's a wonderful field. And I can't tell you how many people, even though I'm in retirement, how many people I run across, and they have certain kinds of situations, and I tell them, go to the patient advocate, you know, call the chaplain. So it's a very important ministry for patients and their families when they're hospitalized. You know,
That's correct. Yes,
Today we're talking about the value of time, as our listeners now understand because of that opening scripture. And I'd like for you to make your introduction to this topic. You know, why? What's the importance of it? What's your interest in it? You sort of led into it with the thing that you don't do anything that doesn't provide meaning, joy, and purpose. And that certainly is a high level of valuing time. But unpack that a little bit for us.
Yes, ma'am. So, one, I think it is very appropriate that you opened up the dialogue with that particular scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. And the reason I believe that it is important is because the Ecclesiastes is attributed to the book, is attributed to Solomon by way of authorship. And Solomon, just in terms of context, is at the end of his life. So more so in the book of Proverbs, it's attributed to Solomon is attributed to writing the majority of Proverbs. That was at one season in his life. The Song of Solomon is another book that's attributed to him. That was another season in his life. And so the book of Ecclesiastes is more representation of the latter end of his life, and he's in a spirit of reflection throughout that entire time. And so now, as an older man, he comes to the table and said, there is a time for everything. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time for peace. There's a time for war. So he's recognizing at the end of his life, in terms of reflection, how precious time is,
yeah.
How precious or these things that we begin to pursue in the grand scheme of things, they really don't matter.
That's
What ultimately matters, as he comes to the conclusion, is to fear God and to keep his commandments. But he in chapter 3 is reflecting on this concept of time. And time is extremely important. And oftentimes, we do not recognize the value of time until we are met with its limitations and its boundaries. Here's what I mean by that. There's this song that I listen to consistently, but more specifically on Father's Day. And it's a song by Luther Vandross. And what is Luther Vandross? He says, to dance with my father again.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, if I could get another chance, if I could get another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end, how I love, love, love to dance with my father again. That is a question about, that is a song about time.
Yes,
right?
It is.
He is recognizing that in his own reflection and in his own pain, his own hurt, and is missing his daddy, when he wants to dance with his father again, he's craving for more time,
mm-hmm.
right? And throughout songs, throughout history, we hear these kind of songs, you know, where it's boys to men and mama, you know, I love you. So mm-hmm. what we're talking about is time. And so my thing is that time is not unlimited. Time is limited. And so if we can come to that understanding much sooner, as opposed to waiting until later seasons in our life, or waiting until there's some tragedy or there's some moment that erects it, let us take the time to value it now, because we have to take advantage of opportunities as they come our way and recognize that people are important, situations are important, and we have to capitalize on this moment, on these moments. The greatest gift that you can give yourself is the awareness that your time is limited, and doing everything that you can to make sure that you make the most out of every situation, every opportunity that comes your way. And that is, for me, taking time for you, pressing pause to take time for you. At my job at Ohio State, when I clock out at the end of my shift, they ask a very simple question in the Kronos system. Did you take your 30-minute lunch break?
Okay.
It's real simple. Yes, I took my 30-minute lunch break. But after a moment, after the consistent every single day and definitely connection to my doctoral work, I began to think of that question on a much larger scale in terms of the principle. You know, Colin, did you take 30 minutes away from your job to take care of you? That is to feed my body, right?
Yeah.
Colin, did you take 30 minutes away from your job just to press pause? Colin, are you taking snippets of time on a consistent basis to take care of you? Colin, your life is filled with so much. Your life is filled with family, with my wife, with my children. My life is filled with my my commitment to my job. My life is filled with my commitment to the church. My life is filled with other kinds of commitments as well. And so it is paramount for me to raise that same question to myself. Colin, are you taking snippets of time for you to build you up, to regroup, to replenish? Because what ends up happening is that when we don't take those times for us to replenish and to revive ourselves, we give out of our reserves as opposed to our abundance. What happens when we don't take care of ourselves, and something as simple as giving time to ourselves, we'll find out that we are snapping at people. We're getting frustrated where we wouldn't normally get frustrated. And it just might be because we're running on fumes because we're not pressing pause to take care of ourselves. So I'll stop right there, but that's kind of an introduction into the value of time and the benefits that you can receive just from pressing pause on a consistent basis to lavish love upon yourself, to give to yourself that precious gift of time.
You know, when I was reading a little bit from your perspective about time, there was a phrase, being present. And they said, be present in the present moment. And being present is a gift. That's why they call it a present. And then another thought I ran across is thinking about, as I listened to you, barriers. What are some of the barriers? You listed some of the signs that show that we're out of balance and we're not taking time for filling and caring for ourselves. But what are some of the barriers that you found to us being able to value time and make sure that we take time to restore ourselves?
You know, barrier is a really interesting word. The reality is we have real life responsibilities. We have real life commitments, and those responsibilities that we have can be barriers to keeping us from pressing pause and pressing pause to give us the time that we so richly, you know, deserve. So, for example, you know, I am married and I have three kids, one son living at home, and he does swimming. Swimming is very time consuming. Swimming, he has swim practice, you know, every day, 2 hours.
Yes.
And it's my responsibility and my desire, but it's my responsibility to make sure that he gets to his swim practice on time, picking him up on time. And then the struggle comes in, well, I want to spend time with my son. Independent of swimming, right? Independent of school. How do I manage that when he has his schedule? I have my schedule. I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So So the time in which that that I have is limited if I want to spend that kind of time, you know, with him. And so we have to be creative to figure out how can I capitalize the time that I want to have with him. So, you know, there are times when, hey, I say, Colin, there's no phone at the dinner table, right? We're just gonna talk, you know, so I can eliminate, you know, that barrier. Or when I'm driving him to swim practice or picking him up from swim practice, it takes about a half an hour to get from our home to where he practices, capitalizing on that time, as opposed to just saying, well, I'm just too busy. I can't give him the time, that kind of time, or I'm too busy, I can't give myself that kind of time. So so when it comes to the barriers, acknowledging real life responsibilities and finding a way to acknowledge it in the first on first, and then making a plan, an intentional plan, to work around that. Because if you're not intentional on carving out space and carving out time, then you'll look up and 2-3 years have flown
by,
right. And you're like, wait a minute, what in the world is gone? Where did the time go? How many
That's
times
right.
can you raise that question? Where did the time go? And your
That's
and
right.
time will slip away from us if we're not intentional on carving out that time.
That's
in
right.
my dissertation, I specifically focused, in one of my chapters, I specifically focused on Sabbath. And
yes.
Sabbath rest.
Yes.
And taking that time. And there's a gentleman that I focused on. His name is Walter Brueggemann. Walter Brueggemann is
yes.
a biblical scholar and biblical theologian.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote this book called Sabbath as Resistance.
Yes.
Saying no to the culture of now.
That's
and
right.
I really, really like that book because he talks about how Western culture is built on the foundation of production and consumerism.
That's right.
That we're going to fall in one of these two categories. Either we are producing something
yes.
or we are consuming something. As a matter of fact, I think what he ultimately argues is that there are times when we're both victims to both, right?
Yes.
That we're both producing in terms of, you know, our work. When we go into our jobs, we have to produce on our jobs, and we're also consuming as well. And so because our system is built on production and consumerism, that we have to be intentional on pulling ourselves out of the rat race of life.
That's right.
You have to be able to pull yourself, because if you don't pull yourself out of the rat race of life, you'll just be like that hamster just going around and around and around, you know, on that wheel. And so he says that taking Sabbath rest, pressing pause on life, that in and of itself is an act of resistance.
Yes,
you are
it
resisting
is.
The culture of now, going against the system that tells you got to keep pushing, 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 and you got to sleep less and work more. Everything is work, 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 work. And it's just like, no, he is saying that pressing pause, giving yourself time, is an act of resistance. And I'll use this example. Because the question for me was, Colin, what does Sabbath rest look like for you, for someone who has two jobs? I have a full-time job and I do the church. What does Sabbath rest look like for me, who has a family, who has all other kinds of responsibilities, in addition to my own dreams, hopes, and goals and aspirations? Colin, what does Sabbath rest look like to you, who was in school full-time? And my brother-in-law is an avid Pittsburgh Steelers fan, loves the Pittsburgh Steelers, gets dressed up and everything. The culture that he has built in his house, and he lives in Cleveland, is that he is unavailable when the Pittsburgh Steelers play.
Sure, sure.
You cannot call him. He's not going to return your text. He is unavailable. And in the beginning, people had a challenge with it, I'm sure, but over time, they understood and they accepted that, hey, the Steelers are on, you know, this guy, he's unavailable. Well, if he can find a way to creatively carve out time for a football game, how much more for you and I can we also carve out particular moments of time on a consistent basis to breathe, to decompress, to do what it is that we need to do to feed ourselves. And in the beginning, when we begin to implement boundaries in our life, in the beginning, there may be some people that we're connected to that have a challenge with that. They will have a problem with you erecting boundaries because they're so used to having unlimited access to you. But after a while, if you can just hold on tight and hold on to the value that you have placed in your life, eventually people will understand that, hey, mom needs a moment. Hey, dad needs a moment. Hey, so-and-so, this is his time, this is her time, and we're not going to be able to bother barring some emergency. I think that's very, very important.
It's very important. It's extremely important, especially as pastors, because the issue is that sometimes people just think there's no limit to the demands on pastors. They almost become inhuman. You don't have to agree. I can say this. And so that they want you all the time, anytime. And I can think of a time when I was an associate at a very large church, and my mother had an automobile accident. A car ran into her. She was newly widowed, and I had to go. I had to take care of her and brought her back to the house, of course. And the senior pastor that I was working with at the time, his mother also had some kind of accident. I don't remember what it was, but she was ill, but she was in Cleveland. When I called and told him that it happened on a weekend, on a Saturday, they determined that my mother, who was elderly, had a concussion. And I called and I said, you know, I'm not going to be at church on Sunday. I'm not going to be able to come. I have to take care of my mother. I'm an only child, and she's a widow, and she lives alone, and so I need to take care of her. And she has a concussion. And what was said to me was, oh, no, you need to come in. The people won't like it. I said, you know, I think that when the people learn that I am here taking care of my mother, because she's just had an automobile accident that totaled her car, her brand new car that my dad had bought for her before he passed, and that she has a concussion and needs help. I said, when they find that out, if I were to come into work, come into church tomorrow and do the liturgy and do all that I do as associate, I think that they would not think well of me as a faithful daughter and a faithful person. They would think that I did not have my priorities straight. And he kept trying to convince me that I need to come to work. And I finally had to say, I'm sorry, but I won't be there tomorrow. My mother needs me, and I am going to be wondering if people don't understand that. And that's what you're talking about, unrealistic and really out of bounds expectations on people, having no boundaries. Nothing is off limits. And so in that instance, you are to produce no matter what is going on, even if life and health are at stake. So what you're saying is that you have to know how to stand up, you have to know what your boundaries are, and you have to be able to state them and make them known to people, and they will benefit. They won't think so at first, but they will benefit as well as you will benefit. I like what you said about having a plan. That is so important, being intentional about how you're going to use your time and plan to use your time. One of the things that I ran across as a young mother in raising children, and I was a homemaker at the time. I went to seminary, graduate school later, is families having mission statements. And I learned that that was an important thing to helping meaning and purpose, so that you could assess yourself every once in a while, assess your family. Each of you could assess what you're doing as parents and spouses, and make sure that you were staying on track. Yes, having to modify as life stages change, certain realities come, you have to change your perspective. But having a mission statement, I found, was very important, and my husband and I always had one. And every so often, we went over it, and it changed, or the emphasis would change. But it's so important, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be that. But whatever it is, you have to have a plan, and you have to be intentional, and you have to, like your brother-in-law said, know what your boundaries are, and then be strong enough to keep them.
Determining for yourself, determining for your family, what is your value?
That's right.
What is it that you value? And no one can determine that but you and your family.
That's right.
What is your value? And then make choices that are consistent with the values that you have put in place for yourself and your family.
That's right.
It is to have a tunnel vision. And if it does not fit within the vision that you have set for yourself and for your family, it may mean that you don't partake in X, Y, and Z because this comes against the value that I put in place.
That's right.
You talked about boundaries with clergy. And, you know, this is exactly what I wrote about, how clergy, we inherit an unspoken system on self-sacrifice, where we sacrifice our families, we sacrifice ourselves, we sacrifice our personal health, all in the name of service. A service to the church, a service to God. And what I argue for is that there needs to be a paradigm shift that that when it comes to the value of family, and if I need to go and take care of my mother because she has no one else but me, that means that I'm going to exercise that value. And if that means that I'm not here serving at this particular church in this particular way, then that means I'm not going to serve at this particular church and in this particular way at this particular season. And that when it comes to enforcing boundaries or expressing the boundaries in a healthy way, like you said, the congregation would be accepting, would be understanding. And what I actually argue for in my dissertation is partnership.
That's right.
My title was A Paradigm Shift, A Model for Clergy and Congregations to Partner and Adopt Holistic Approaches to Health and Wellness.
That's great.
And so if I'm challenging the congregation, if I ask the congregation, I need a Sunday off, or I need to take, you know, 2 weeks off, et cetera, because I need to take care of me. If we are in partnership, ideally, in a sense, the congregation is not going to have a challenge with that. Why? Because they know, they see the value in time. They see the value of you taking care of yourself so that you can be healthy, so that your loved ones can be healthy. But also, you are encouraging and challenging them to do the same thing.
To do the same.
And
to do the absolute
We as clergy,
same.
We must be the embodiment of healthy behavior. So if I want my congregation to be healthy, then I need to model responsible behavior in front of the congregation.
That is
if I want
very true. Yes.
So it's all, we're all in this thing together. You know what I mean? We're all in this thing together as we name the values, and then begin to develop a plan, what is important in my life, and then not allowing those things, because there's always going to be a reason to go off the beaten path.
That's right.
So name our value, and I'm going to make choices that are consistent with the values that I've put in place. And it's to benefit you and your family.
And I think there's a lot of scriptural examples for that. You think of Christ, who went on a retreat. I call it a retreat. He needed to rest,
yeah.
And so he went across the pond to do that, to take some time for himself. And we talk about Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath holy. Sabbath time is very important. Balancing and knowing what's important is very important, and not being other-driven. You touched on that. When you and your family make that decision about what your values are and what's important and what your boundaries will be, then you need to stick to that. You need to live by that. And you will be an example, because people are watching. They're watching clergy. They're watching people who say they're serving the Lord. But we're serving the Lord. We're serving the people. But we want to serve in health, wellness, and sanity, too. And God wants that. I think we can find lots of scriptural support for that. And you mentioned signs when you're that you're not doing that. You're being too wrapped up in busyness, too wrapped
yes.
up in being programmed up, too wrapped up in being the product. We're not supposed to be the product. We're supposed to be, and consuming, over consuming. Then we have those signs that you pointed to, and the old word used to be burnout. And
burnout,
what we
yes.
know is that you cannot give from a pot that's empty.
That's right.
So if you're
that's
giving,
right.
giving to everybody else because you are pushed and motivated by thinking that your only value is in consuming or being a product, as Bergerman is talking about, then you're going to really implode, and you're going to have a problem with burnout. Well, on
that's
that
right.
note, this is a great discussion, and we'll come back to it, but I need to take a moment to let our sponsors speak. So we'll be right back in just a moment.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Rhea.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here. It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing, because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Well, we're back with Reverend Colin Jones, and we're discussing the value of time. And Reverend Colin Jones, am I understanding that this was a topic of your dissertation?
That is correct, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Knowing how dissertations work a little bit, What was your practicum or your residence? How did you, what were the tenets that you were positing, and then how did you demonstrate those or teach about those?
That's a phenomenal question. So my research project was held at the Advent United Church of Christ Church, which is located on 2303 North Cassidy Avenue. We ran the program for 7 weeks. Originally, it was going to be 7 weeks, but then we added a bonus week. We had about 16 participants, and the program, the research project, was called the Inside Out Health Initiative, where we looked at health from a holistic perspective to talk about mental health, physical health, and spiritual health. And we broke it up. We had a focus group on Wednesday evening, and then we also preached about it on Sunday mornings as well. So for 2 weeks, we focused in on mental health, and I had outside speakers come in to talk about mental health. And then on Sunday mornings, I preached on mental health. And then the next week, we talked about spiritual health. And spiritual health, not in the context of prayer and scripture and getting close to divinity, which is all extremely important.
But
spiritual health in terms of that which affects your entire person.
Yes.
Right? If you're walking and you stub your toe, and even though it happened on your toe, your whole body feels it, right?
Yes.
Give it those expressions of hurt and pain, et cetera. So that which affects your entire person. So we kind of just delved into, self-care.
Okay.
And what does it mean to take care of yourself and
okay.
to lavish love upon yourself. And then in conclusion, the latter weeks, we talked about physical health as well as nutrition. So getting your body moving.
Great.
You don't have to, look like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, or you don't have to look like Terry Crews or some of those other figures, right? When it comes to working out in the gym, it's the main thing is just getting your body moving on a consistent basis.
Sure.
And then we dealt with nutrition. I didn't want to give people meal plans to follow.
Sure.
I wanted them to be equipped with the tools of nutrition so that they can make educated decisions or make more informed choices when they go to the grocery store and when they cook in the kitchen themselves.
Now, did you have a nutritionist come and talk to you?
We did. Group? We had a nutritionist who's also a personal trainer. Her name is Coach Kayla Brock, and she has her own home company called Design Your Body Academy. She came in to talk about nutrition as well as physical fitness. There was another personal trainer who offered boot camp style classes 3 days a week for she runs that on her own, but our group, we participated in that, and her name is Angela Nixon, and she owns 5 Point Fitness, which is in Gahanna.
Okay.
So they were both present in helping to talk about fitness and talk about nutrition, as well as doing nutrition and doing fitness.
Wonderful.
And then my last, our last week, the bonus week, a colleague of mine, she was a part of my cardiac rehab team because I had a heart attack two years ago.
Yes.
And so when I was in cardiac rehab, I connected with this one particular instructor. And so she came to talk about nutrition and connected nutrition to diseases as a result of us not eating appropriately.
Okay.
So it was a 7 week total program. And the question, the driving question was, if, or my hypothesis, if you will, program participants partake in this educational symposium on holistic health, then the quality of their life will be improved. And so the question that I wanted to really raise was, as a result of going through this program, does the quality of your life, does it change? Is it enhanced? And so the overwhelming response was they strongly agreed. They named their value system. They named what were the top three important values that they had in their life. They talked about how because they were equipped with tools to navigate life and put themselves on the calendar, if you will. Stephen Covey, who wrote, you know, the Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. He talks about how we ought not prioritize our schedule. We ought to schedule our priority.
Yes.
Right. So we are the priority, so that we schedule ourselves and then work around everything else. So it was a phenomenal program, and we are changing our health and wellness ministry at our church to implement the Inside Out Health Initiative. That is going to be the driving force of our health and wellness ministry, and ultimately, long term vision is for the Advocate United Church of Christ is going to be that model for what it means to live in a healthy way, mentally, physically, and spiritually.
That is so important. And now, were all 16 participants members of your church?
Not all of them. The majority of them were. And then a couple of outside participants they engaged in the program as well. They were part of other churches. And so when I do it again, in more an official capacity, I do plan to recruit more people, not to Advent, but to be a participant in the program, because it is for our all good.
I think it's a wonderful model for your church to use and participate in. And it's a kind of a transformational change of life kind of experience, I would think.
Absolutely, because the hope ultimately is, my thing is, because the Black church has played a significant role when it comes to civil rights, when it comes to Black empowerment and all those types of things. Because the Black church was at the center of that. So likewise, if we make adjustments to just in how we eat alone in our churches, where we gather together and eat communally, right? That if we can make and implement consistent changes in our churches, then the congregants, the members, will implement those changes in their own home, and they'll begin to change the culture of nutrition in their own home, which will eventually change the nutrition habits in our own neighborhood. Because when we look at our neighborhood, the top three problems or the top three contributors to cardiovascular disease in our own community are hypertension or high blood pressure, obesity, and diabetes, right?
Yes.
Those, it's a 1-2-3 knockout punch, right? If
yes.
we have hypertension, if we have diabetes, and we have obesity, those three largely contribute to cardiovascular disease. And we can begin to make institutional changes at our churches, and that will affect positively, that will affect what's going on in our communities in terms of changing the health outcomes in our communities as well.
I agree. So much with that, because it also gets at, without saying it, it gets at some of the, for lack of better word, and not to be judgmental or insulting, but in quotes, some of the superstitions underlying some ways that people think about what God wants for us or what Jesus came to do. We're not to run ourselves ragged in the pretext of serving God and serving Jesus and serving people, so that we work ourselves into ill health and we aren't insightful about the habits that we have that are actually hurting us and maybe keeping us from being the most ideal a servant for God that we can be. I'll give you an example of that. When I was growing up, all wonderful church people and officers are wonderful. I love my church. I grew up in it, and my generations, even had some family that founded a church that's right here and still going. But there was a person I just thought about as you talked about your tenets of your program, and she was, we loved her so much, we kids, and she was in everything. She was doing everything. She controlled everything. And one day, as I got to be a young adult and I started having my own family, I graduated from undergraduate school, I happened to be talking to her about something we were engaged in, some ministry. And she revealed that every Sunday she took a Valium so that she could have her nerves in check so that she could do all her church work. And now this was a wonderful servant of God, wonderful. I was just stunned. I guess I was probably about 25 years old, and I was just stunned. Years later, her daughter became a professional person, and then as alongside, she got the call into ministry, and it was education, and she graduated from a program, and we talked about ministry, and I talked about she, and one of the things she said, well, I'm just not going to be like some people that I have to take a Valium or tranquilizer to do church work. Now, that is being kind of off the mark, as it were. That's kind of getting trapped in production, trapped in consumerism, trapped in, as someone said, being busy. I'm not maligning the faith. I'm not maligning the sincerity or any of that. This was just a very faithful person. But somehow there were some messages that had been given to her in growing up about what you were and what you had to do to be a servant of God. But now faithfulness, goodness, righteousness, all that was there. But what I see you doing is saying, listen, you don't have to give yourself a heart attack or bad health to serve Jesus. Jesus wants you to value time on earth and have informed values that take good care of yourself so that you can do the work that God is calling you to do. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. My whole historical foundation chapter is built on a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Edwards.
Yes. I'm familiar with all these people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, great scholar, preacher. I struggled with him, but I mean, he was a slave owner and things like that.
Well, sure.
But just in terms of being contextually relevant, Jonathan Edwards is a man who embodied what you just talked about. He sacrificed his family, he sacrificed his personal health, all in the name of service to the church. And particularly at the end of his life, when he was given an opportunity to serve, to become the president of Princeton College, which is now Princeton University.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be the College of New Jersey, then, you know, Princeton College, now Princeton University. He initially declined the request because he was ill.
Oh.
He didn't. He was ill, and he was writing some works that he wanted to complete. And then he took the question to the opportunity to a ministerial group, and they suggested that he take this opportunity. And so, in spite of him initially declining, and in spite of his health at the time, he took that opportunity to become the president of Princeton College. And I believe it was 2 months into his presidency, he died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he was inoculated with smallpox.
Oh.
And because that was going around the New Jersey, New England area at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And his family was able to bounce back from it after receiving the inoculation, but he was not. And one potential reason is because his body. body was already fighting off whatever illness he was dealing with at the time.
Okay.
And it did not have enough to fight off both at the same time. But perhaps if he had taken better care of himself, for perhaps if he would have stuck with it with his initial decision to not take that opportunity because he needed to take care of his health first, perhaps the longevity of his life, the quantity of his life could have been, you know, extended. But we all take on various challenges despite what's going on. And a preacher who had come to United to speak, he was a pastor of a very large congregation. He was having a mental breakdown, and his he shared this with everyone. And his doctor told him, "You need to take a break for 1 month."
Mm-hmm.
And he told his doctor, "I can't do that." And the doctor was like, "You mean to tell me you can't take off 30 days from your job at the church?" And
That's
he said,
right.
"No." Now he was having a mental breakdown.
Yes.
But he told himself that he could not take off from church. The compromise that they ended up working out was only preach on Sunday morning.
Because of judgment, because of lack of self-valuing of himself, because of a perceived lack of empathy and compassion. And we could talk about this for hours, really, because we're just touching the surface. And I've enjoyed having you to begin this discussion because from all that you're saying, your program Inside Out, a health initiative, is a very important start in your own church to be continued. That's what I love about it, is that you're going to continue to make this a foundational part of your health. And it is spiritual health as well as physical and mental in the core. You're making this a part of the core value of what being a faithing person is. And then your people are going to share it. They're going to tell other people about it, and they're going to want to know
about it.
And then, as you say, it has a ripple effect into the community and all. This just sounds very promising, and I know that the people that participated in it and are continuing in it are just grateful for the opportunity to focus on valuing time and valuing themselves and improving their mind and their physical level, their spiritual health through your program. Well, Reverend Collins, I'd love to talk, and we can talk. We're planning on talking again on Talktainment. And we can continue this if you like. And
absolutely.
I just want to thank you. Thank you for taking time out today to share this information with our faith and family listeners.
It's absolutely a pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity to come and to give in this particular way. Thank you.
Yes, it's so important what you're saying. And I want to thank my listeners for being present with us, and also ask them to share this information with others. Let them listen to the show, listen to what you have to say, because this is so important. Valuing time is essential for being all that God calls us to be. So now
yes, ma'am.
We're going to end with our closing poem, and we thank you, Reverend Collins, so much for being with us, and thank you, listeners. And the poem we're going to end with is Happiness is an Option, and that's kind of what we're talking about in a way. If we think about it, and we could unpack that at another time. And it's by Gil Pettigrew. Happiness is an option. There will be moments when the shrieking banshee storms have stilled, the fierce beasts vanished. Night's face is no longer black as perdition, but freckled with soft stars, lit by the moon's glowing beauty mark, and all will be peace. It will be sweetness. Without warning, you will have joy, a happy stillness, and this is permitted. Yes, this is a good thing. Thank you for listening.
You got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.